do appreciate everyone helping out with the sign-up sheet back there for a meal in 2 weeks. And it's been the first time we've had an outside quarterly business meeting and carry-in for several years. And so appreciate Bud and Sean cooking and Kathy helping out with that. Also, if you have your shirt, haven't picked it up yet, go ahead and grab that. So pray for our folks that are gone today, that are traveling and that are on vacation. So it's that time of year, July 4th weekend, I guess it is. We're celebrating it. Well, we're fortunate today. We have one of my favorite brother-in-laws, and I got a bunch of them, so I can say that, right? I got 8 of them. No, excuse me, 10, something like that. There's a bunch of them. I don't know. I did. I ran out of fingers. But this particular one, Terry Jones, him and his wife Kay, it's Rebecca's older sister, they've been involved with Baptist International Mission since 1981. Rebecca and I were dating for less than a year, and he's going through school and they're training, and I can remember going to their house. Jason was just barely born, I think. He was just a baby. We were freshmen in college, going to their house and hanging out, and they were studying, and then we got married, and by the time we got married, they were in Costa Rica in 1984. And they were there for a long time. Rebecca and I have been down there 3 times. I hope to go again next year with another trip down there with them. But it's a tremendous ministry. Since that time, he's no longer just a missionary who just starts churches all over Costa Rica, if that's not enough. He's in charge of Central America now, from Panama to Mexico, and all the pastors and missionaries and churches in between. And Mexico is not Nicaragua. Nicaragua is not Costa Rica. Costa Rica is not Panama. A lot of stories. I'll leave it up to him. Yeah, as much time as you like. Have some fun with this. So I'd like to introduce to you our missionary that we support for BIMI. Are you a pastor considered?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah. Director Terry Jones.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Good morning. Amen. That's pretty good. I usually have to ask 2 or 3 times. It's interesting. When I'm down in Nicaragua, they always want to call me pastor. I said, no, I'm not a pastor anymore. I pastored when I was in Costa Rica, but now I'm just a servant. And they, okay, what do I do now then? Just call me Brother Terry. That would work. My title is director, but I don't direct anything. The Holy Spirit directs the work. I just get to serve these missionaries and the pastors and the churches who send and support them. First of all, I would like to thank this church for all that it means to our family. I was telling the pastor that last week, 23 years ago, Sitka Baptist Church so graciously offered this church as a venue for our daughter's wedding. My daughter's church was in Costa Rica. We were living in Chattanooga at the time. Her husband was from Michigan, so we said, let's split the difference and come to Indiana. And it was perfect. And God blessed, and they've just celebrated the 23rd anniversary last Sunday. We had a chance to come back several years ago. They got to show their daughter where they got married. And, it was a good trip. Well, anyway, thank you for your faithful prayers and support. God is blessing. God is answering your prayers. We have just finished. Well, the 1st of June, we had our annual candidate school where we accepted new missionaries being sent all over the world. And, you know, 2 families are from Indiana. They live in Muncie. They go to church in Pendleton. The other is it Greenwood? It's from Greenwood. They the family, the Grangers, are going back to Mexico. There were missionaries there before, and their daughter got very, very sick. They couldn't get the treatment that she needed, so they had to return to the States. But she got the treatment, she's got a clean bill of health now, and now they're going back to Mexico. They'll be going into the Guadalajara. Yeah. I get confused a little bit. But anyway, there. In fact, that's where we're in Indiana this weekend. This evening, we're going over to Pendleton, the Solid Rock Baptist Church, and we are going to recognize that this couple coming to BIMI from that local church. So we have the other couple from Indiana, the Sweets. They were already in Costa Rica. He went to Costa Rica to work in a children's home, met his wife there. She's Costa Rican. And they got married. And then the last few years, they have seen the need to start churches. So he is stepping away from the children's home and wants to go full-time as a missionary. Already started a church. We got to be there 2 weeks ago in this little town of Orosi. And what a need there. That's one of the strongest Catholic areas of the country. But there started a church. We had a full house. They're meeting in a little house right now. It was full. We brought 11 people, so we had to stand. Some of us were out in the garage, and some of us were kind of sitting in the hall trying to listen. But it was a great service. And then we have a young lady. She grew up in Honduras as a missionary kid, and now she's going to go back to Honduras to fill in the gaps where she can be used, Miss Brooklyn Hodges. And we're all excited about these new candidates that are going out, because the prayer request of Jesus, our Savior, was pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And God is answering that prayer. We just got back last Sunday. No, I guess what was that? We were in the States last Sunday. I was in bed. I got sick as a dog. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. I was very sick, okay? Coming back from Costa Rica, we took a group of 9 people. Kay and I made 11 and went to Costa Rica. We wanted to connect. It's called a connect trip. And we have 6 or 7 of these trips every year. Different directors take different trips, go in different places. And we want to connect church folks to the mission field. We had a chance to see 3 different works there. One of the missionaries just got a building that's their very own. And it's not a new building. It's new to them. But we were able to help them do some renovations, some painting, get ready. And we celebrated their very first Sunday in that new building. And what a blessing it was to be there. Another new church has been about 3 years old. We got to go to the Bible study with them. And then, of course, with the Sweets in Orosi. And then got to see some of God's creation. Some of the most beautiful scenery in the world, and you can't help but say, look what God has done. We took them. I don't know, did we take you guys to the waterfall park while you were there? Did we take you to the hummingbird area? I don't know how they do it, but there are tons of hummingbirds just going. I mean, if you got like this, because you get hit in the face with one, but it's just amazing. God's creation. Now, the evolutionists will say, well, they evolved a curved beak so they can get into that one particular flower. What did they do before they had the curved beak? Did they starve? No, God made them like that way. God made them and God made the flower. But we had a chance to do that, and what a great blessing. Two of those young people on that trip, God has spoke to them. They feel that God is calling them to Costa Rica, and this helped to strengthen their call. And then one of the young ladies, after she's single young lady, said, you know, I believe God wants me as a missionary in Latin America. Not quite sure where, but she's praying and she's asking God for direction on that. I want you to pray. Starting next Monday, a week from tomorrow, we have our first week of Camp Bimini. Camp Bimini is when we invite young people in and we have summer camp. And this is an intensive missionary training camp. We want to show these kids what it's like to be on the mission field. Each one of the directors has a meal. Now, several years ago, I carried the food. That's about all I did. But Kay prepared gallo pinto. Gallo pinto is a Costa Rican breakfast. You see, Costa Ricans have a very varied diet. At lunch, they have rice and beans, maybe a salad, a little bit of meat, and an egg, some fried plantain. At supper, they eat something different. They eat beans and rice and some bread and something. Well, then for breakfast, we have gallo pinto. Gallo pinto is beans and rice mixed together. Now, Costa Rica will eat beans and rice every meal. And you can give a Costa Rican the biggest, juiciest ribeye steak, and he'll say, "That looks good. Where's my rice and beans?" But we love it. So, well, we've done it different. Last year, we made a Honduran dish called baleadas. It's like a big taco, but with sour cream, eggs, beans, and cheese in it. And you fold it over. This year, we're going to do something completely different. We're going to mix Costa Rican food and Mexican. We're going to have tamales, but not like Mexican tamales. A Costa Rican tamale, one is not a tamale, it's a tamal. And so one tamal, they're wrapped in banana leaves. They have pork and rice and carrots and things like that. It's an acquired taste, but it's really good. And then we're going to pass around, for those who are brave, fried grasshoppers. Oh, they're good. You can eat anything deep fried, especially with a little lemon juice on them. But in the state of Oaxaca in Mexico, they're famous for eating bugs. And they fry them, and they roast them, and they grill them. And so we're going to give everyone that wants some fried grasshoppers. So we're going to mix Mexican and Costa Rican together. But we're going to get, all the different directors have different food. The Far Eastern director, he makes us eat with chopsticks. One year, the director over Australia gave us Vegemite sandwiches. It was interesting. That's an acquired taste too. But we'll eat all kinds of different things. Our military director, he gives us all an MRE, and we go out in the yard and eat those. You know what MRE stands for? How many military men we have here? What's MRE stand for?
Meals ready to eat.
No, meals rejected by everyone.
That's true.
But actually, they're not bad. I probably, after about 3 months of them, I would feel the same way. But we've got that. But we also have intensive classes on all things missions. What about cross-cultural communication? I get to teach a class on cross-cultural communication. And that's fun, because you can, if you go to the mission field, you've got to learn to communicate on that field. Now, they speak English where I'm going. Well, I speak English. Well, I speak Southern. And I have to be sure to speak English while I'm in Indiana. But you can say all kinds of those stuff and get in trouble real quick. I start off my class by asking the question, "What will you find in a trunk?" And they said, "What kind of trunk?" "No, that depends on your culture." I had one guy said, "Well, spare tire." "Okay." One guy said, "Tools." One guy said, "A dead body." But it all depends on context and culture. And so we're going to we'll talk about that. And then we have afternoon classes. We teach first aid, auto mechanics. I think we teach some of these kids. Some of them have never changed a tire in their life. We'll do that. So we're having a great time. We're praying that God, and see, at night we have services. Every field of the world is presented. I'm going to have a chance to talk a little bit about Mexico and Central America, but I finish my presentation. I talk about three people. I talk about Miss Martha Kunberger. Miss Martha was a single missionary almost all her life. She went to the field of the Congo when she was in her 20s and spent the rest of her life in missions. God called her home about 3 or 4 years ago. I have a pair of her shoes. And I say, who will fill these shoes? Then I talk about Dr. Bob Dayton, who was a missionary for over 60 years in Nicaragua, helped start some 200 churches, a Bible Institute. And I hold up a pair of his shoes, and I say, who will fill his shoes? And this year, I've added a pair. Last March, missionary kid, Brother Jaden Goins, he was a student at Pensacola Christian College. He was preparing to go back to the fields to where God had called him and serve. And while he was working in the afternoon, after lunch, a drunk driver came, jumped the curb, hit him, and killed him instantly. I've got a pair of Jaden's shoes. I'm going to hold those up. Who's going to fill these shoes? So we're praying that God would touch the lives of these young people. Now, we can't call them. If we could, we would, but we can't. God's going to have to call them. But if we can instill in them the great need, and they see these needs, and that will touch their hearts, and they will, all we're asking, that they would pray and say, here am I, send me. And God will put them in the fields where he wants them to be. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to talk a few minutes this morning about pressing toward the mark. Now, I think that the last time I was here, I talked about this, but I'm not sure. Normally, the pastor or the speaker will read his text and then he'll pray. Well, I do it opposite. We're going to pray before we read our text. Why is that? Because Psalm 119, verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy word. In Spanish, it's a poem. Abre mis ojos y miraré las maravillas de tu ley. That's the prayer we ought to pray every time we open God's word. Because what we are dealing with today is not just a book, even though it's the book of books. This is not just a great work of literature, even though it's the greatest work of literature ever written. This is not just a book of religion, although the religion of this book is pure. This is not just a book of history, even though the history of this book is true. This is, in fact, the Word of God. I'm convinced that if God wanted to present himself in a physical form and speak to us in an audible voice, this is what he would say. So when we read this book, we can't just expect to understand it. We must have the direction of the Holy Spirit as our teacher. And we're going to pray and we ask God to open our spiritual eyes that we will behold the wonders he has for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for the service so far. Lord, as we've stood and sang your praises, and then thank you for the freedoms that you have allowed us to enjoy. And Lord, we must pray every day because those freedoms are so close to being lost. Lord, I pray for this nation. I pray for our president. Lord, send someone to him that can tell him the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you touch his heart and break his heart. I pray that you'll save him. Lord, I pray for the upcoming election so that your will would be done. But Lord, we cannot look to Washington. We must look to heaven. And we must live as God's children. Lord, now we pray for this, the rest of this service today. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the word of God as we read it. Open our spiritual eyes that we will behold the wonders. And Lord, I pray that you would help me. Lord, I need your help this morning as your messenger, that what I say would be honoring and glorifying to you. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, let's begin in verse 7 to see the contact. When I was in Bible school, I had to take auto mechanics. Because missionaries are going to have to learn how, at least, if you can't fix your car, you got to know at least what the mechanic is doing. And my auto mechanics teacher, every class we quoted this passage till we had it memorized. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Pressing toward the mark. We see here, we read about pursuing and apprehending. Normally, pursuing and apprehending are terms associated with police work. We have a missionary in Honduras, Brother Nate Mortensen. He was a deputy sheriff in Escambia County, Florida. He was featured on the show Cops. And on that show Cops, they pursue. And then their goal is to apprehend a criminal. Sometimes those pursuits are high-speed pursuits. Sometimes they're running through the backyard, running through the neighborhood, or sometimes they're breaking down doors. But their goal, their focus on one thing, to apprehend that suspect. In order to apprehend the suspect, a pursuit has to be initiated. They're not going to just sit that in their squad cars and say, "Okay, y'all come to us so we can arrest you." No, they have to go after them. The goal of that pursuit is to apprehend the suspect. Now, we too are in a pursuit. But our goal is not to apprehend a criminal. It is to apprehend the prize of the high calling of God. Every day of our lives, we should be in pursuit of the prize. Our goal is to apprehend the prize. But what is that? Well, how do we do that? Well, the instructions are in verses 13 and 14. Number one, we must have a consideration of the correct concept of ourselves. A consideration of the correct concept of ourselves. I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, Paul was probably one of the chiefest of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He had studied. He probably would have had four or five doctorate degrees. But he knew, I have not apprehended. I count not myself to have apprehended. We need to have the concept of ourselves. What does it mean to apprehend something? It's to get it. It's to grasp it. It's to lay hold on it. The policemen, when they're apprehending a suspect, they finally get him. They put him in cuffs. They put him in their squad car. They've got him. Well, that's what we want to do. We want to get this. We want to apprehend it. But we cannot apprehend it through our own power. We're weak. The flesh is weak. We're sinners saved by grace. But we're just sinners. People ask me sometimes, how you doing? I said, not too good. What? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When somebody, we ask somebody, well, you need something else. Oh, no, I'm good. I said, no, you're not. You're a filthy, rotten sinner. I had one of our missionaries when we first got to Costa Rica, Brother Freddie Crow. He was a country boy from Eastleigh, South Carolina. Now, I'm sophisticated when it comes to Freddie, okay? Freddie was a missionary in Nicaragua at first. He was there during the earthquake when the devastated Managua. And he was he had been a volunteer fireman back in Eastleigh, so he worked with a fireman there in rescue and recovery. And then he came down to Costa Rica. Well, he found me a car. It was a 1964 Chevy Nova. You know what Nova means in Spanish? Nova means no go. It's a Chevy no go. Well, he found me one. The guy who had it used it for a doghouse or his Great Danes. But he fixed it up for me. He got a mechanic fix it up for me. But he called me. Jonesy, how you doing? I said, I'm doing pretty good. He said, no, you ain't. Excuse me? The Bible says you're no good. I've seen you. No, you ain't pretty. Oh, you're right. Bachelor. I told a fellow that one time at church. The next time I asked him, how you doing? He said, reasonably well. But listen, we're sinners saved by grace, but we are weak in ourselves. We face temptation every day. We need God's help. We cannot do it on our own. We need his help to fulfill his will, to glorify him in our lives. We must have that correct concept of ourselves. I count not myself to have apprehended. But we need a dedication to the correct cause. This one thing I do. Paul was consecrated. He was dedicated. He had his eyes on one thing. Let's go back to that police officer in that pursuit. You know, he's not thinking about, he's jumping fences. He's not worried about that bulldog in there. He's got his eye on that suspect. He's knocking down doors. He's got one thing in his mind, to apprehend that suspect. We should have that dedication to the correct call. This one thing I do. Know what's important. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. I tried to translate that in Spanish. It didn't work very well. But, you know, we've heard that. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. What's most important in our lives? Doing God's will, glorifying him in all that we do. Concentrating on what is most important. Being focused, single-minded, knowing what is before us. That dedication to correct cause. This one thing I do. Now, number three is the application of the correct conduct. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We all have a past. Every one of us here has a past. But God forgives. The blood of Christ covers. Forget the past. Don't worry. Now, that police officer, as he is pursuing that suspect, he's not worried about what's behind him. He's not worried about those fences he's already jumped. He's not worried about those doors he's already kicked in. He's not worried about those buildings he's already had to run around. He is concentrated on one thing. He's forgetting those things which are behind. Yes, we have a past, but ask forgiveness. Trust in God's forgiveness. Forsake it and forget it. Go forward. Work today. We only have today to serve the Lord. We were talking about Jaden Goins the other day. We were down in Pensacola the day he was killed. His parents are good friends of ours, and we had called them. Said, what's their treat? What's their favorite treat? And they told us. And so we had a bag of combos. You know what combos are? You have that stuffed pretzels, and they love those things. He and his older brother were both in school, and so Jaden came by to see us right before he went to work. We gave him a bag of combos, and then he texted his brother and said, "Hey, Brother Jones, Mrs. Jones gave us some combos." Then he went to work. Then he went to heaven. It was that quick. We don't know about tomorrow. We have today to serve the Lord. We have no guarantee. We need to work today. Now, we need to look toward tomorrow. We need to plan. We need to reach forth to those things which are before. But let's do everything knowing that we have the promise of Christ coming. He's coming for us. I was listening to an old recording of, who's the guy that does through the Bible? Can't remember his name right now. J. Vernon McGee, I believe. He was talking about a gardener. He said he came to the garden. It was beautiful. And he asked the gardener, "Wow, this is beautiful." He said, "Yes, I'm anticipating the coming of the owner." "Oh, okay. Well, is he coming today?" "He might." "What, did he tell you when he's coming?" "Well, no." "When was the last time he was here?" "About 10 years ago." "Well, why do you think he's coming today?" "He can. I want to be sure I'm ready when he comes." And he said, you know, we need the same thing. We have the promise of his coming. We don't know when he's coming. We need to be working while we are waiting. Work, because he's coming. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. And then, number four, we have the application of the correct crown. The anticipation of the correct crown from Christ. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 25 says this, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Have you seen any of the Olympic trials this week? They're going on, and these young people are preparing. They're trying their best to get that spot so they can go to the Olympics. And they can strive, and they can go for the gold. And they have worked all their lives. They have trained. They have disciplined themselves to run just a little faster, to swim just a little harder, to lift just a little bit more weight. They do it so they can get a medal. In Paul's day, they did it to get a crown of oak leaves, a corruptible crown. That crown didn't last very long. But we, an incorruptible crown. Now, what is the prize? Is the prize the crown? Is the prize just to hear our Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? The prize. He says, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To what have we been called? Well, first of all, we've been called to salvation. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There was a day when God called you, and you answered. He came looking for you. He came where you were, and he reached out. He called you, come to me and accept my free gift of salvation. He calls everyone to salvation. Some people reject him. That's the work of missions. We go out and we tell everybody that God is calling them. Calling them to salvation. After he saves us, he calls us to sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7 says, For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. God wants us to live a life that is glorifying to him. And then he's called us to his service. 2 Timothy 1:9. Who hath called us, who has saved us, and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He has a purpose for each one of us. Oh, that's just for the missionaries, and that's just for the pastor. No, that's for every one of us. God has someone that you can reach. God has something that you can do. You know, there are people in your lives that you can reach that I can't, that your pastor can't. There are people that I can reach that you can't. All together, we can reach the world for Christ. So how can we do it? I just got a book. I just found out that a friend of mine whom we attend church, he wrote a book several years ago. It's called The Church Planning. It's a church planning handbook. YBH. Church planning, YBH. It means yes, but how? And so it's a whole book on church planning. And so I thought about that when I was looking at this. Said, okay, this is what we have to do. We have to pursue. We have to pursue that, keep our eyes on that prize. But how? We must realize, number one, that Christ is our help. Psalm 121, you know this one. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help doesn't come from the hills, but the hills remind me that my help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of all it. Wow, we just driving up here. We got to drive through the mountains for a while. Now we get to drive to the cornfields of Indiana. And it's all flat. It never ends. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. My God did that. Well, okay, the farmers planted the seeds. I know, but God gave the rains and the sun, and God gives the increase. Those mountains through which we drove on the way up here yesterday, God did that. God formed them. And that's my God. He is my helper. He is the one that gives me my strength, and he is the gold. He's a gold. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. He's the gold. He's what our eyes are fixed upon. Jesus is everything. As we come to an end of this morning worship, We've sang his praises. We have thanked him for what he's done. We've asked him for his help in cases of sickness, in encouragement, bereavement. And he is the greatest help of all. But let's walk out of these doors today thinking, God is with me. Christ is my helper. He's my strength. He's my goal. He is my everything. Here am I. Send me. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for calling Paul, equipping him to do a mighty work for you. Lord, even though he was a wicked, vile sinner, that you smote his heart and brought him to you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as well to give our lives to you, that your name would be uplifted and glorified in all that we do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. That's her way of saying nice job. All right, let's all stand and turn to hymn number 629. Let's sing the very first verse of Only Trusting. Hymn number 29. Amen. We do have an offering plate in the back there to take a special offering for Terry and Kay to help them on their way back down, what they're doing, their missions, and help with them. So there's a plate back there. If you could give extra today, please do so. We'll make sure as a church it looks good, and we'll make sure it's right. We're glad you guys are here today. Where's Kay? There she is. We're glad you guys are here today. Don't forget, 2 weeks we have our luncheon. Next week we have communion, and we're starting another quarter, so God bless you all. There's something else, but I cannot think of what it is, so I'm just rambling indiscriminately until it comes to my mind. You ever done that? It's not coming. Oh, yes, it is. Junior church workers, make sure you come up here right afterwards if you and talk with me about a couple things here. So, yes. God bless all of you. Have a good day today. Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock. We're studying the book of Proverbs. And Randy, would you close this in prayer today, sir?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message today. We thank you for Kay and Terry coming up to speak to us on their mission field. Lord, we love to help out where we can. And the feedback we get from our missions is only meant to help us. We ask that you would be with us as we leave and just help us to serve you better in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.